How do we start the show today with me gloating? Me gloating probably seems like a good place to start. Midi is in the studio today too, so he's going to hear me gloat some.
All right.
You all right with that?
I like Midi? Gloating.
Yeah, why not?
This is good reason.
Let's gloat, and let's just listen to why I'm gloating today. Let's listen to the start, or a little bit of the start from yesterday's show. Andrew has it queued up to play. Go ahead, please, Andrew.
Please hold.
Yeah, as I talk about
the sun,
there we go.
And maybe in the stock guarantee that actually then the Boston Celtics will win championships, or maybe yours truly, Slim on the Sports Machine with Slim, will have a lock stock guarantee that actually comes true and through. So stay tuned, everybody. You're going to get that lock stock guarantee in about 3 seconds. 2-1. This is not financial advice, but UConn is going to destroy Purdue tonight. Guaranteed. Write it down. Purdue has 0.0 chance to win the game tonight. UConn should be favored by at least 15. The only reason I can tell why it would be 6 is because there's a lot of people that had futures on UConn to win the whole tournament, and the lines makers don't want to inflate that too much for a chance for people to middle that play. I'm just going to tell you this, dude. Klingon is the best defensive matchup against Edie. And, yeah, part of my rant here is going to be about how NC State just
there
totally...
There we go, Andrew. That's
they just
good.
Fell flat. Thank you very much. We could continue on because, really, the meat of the discussion yesterday, Midi, was how all UConn needed to do was single up Edie in the post, let him score as many points as he can against Klingon, and just don't let the three-point shooters for Purdue get open. Don't help off of them. Stay with them. And that's exactly what happened last night. What do you think, Midi, about my prediction skills for that game?
I'm actually a little more impressed than you might think, because you actually said they're going to win by at least 15.
I said the point
75
spread
to 60.
Should be 15 points, and it landed right on the money. You have very good listening skills right there, Midi.
I try. You definitely made a good prediction on this one, and I'm impressed.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. You should be impressed. What I was most impressed with myself on was the halftime show last night where we go to the experts. I think Charles Barkley was there, Jay Wright, and they spent literally the first 3 to 4 minutes of that halftime show talking about how UConn's strategy was to single up Edie in the post and stay with the three-point shooters so that nobody could get open for Purdue. Purdue, for people that don't know, last night made 1 3-pointer. They shot 7. They were 1 for 7 from 3. And that's why I was on the line yesterday saying a guarantee that Purdue cannot beat UConn because their guards are not fast enough to get open for threes if you just stay with them. And UConn's guys are much faster than Purdue's. So it wasn't just me talking junk yesterday. It was simple math. Pat myself on the back yet again for a great job.
Very good. Very good. At one point in the first half, I noticed that it was 30 points for Purdue, and 25 of them were between Edie and Smith. And to clarify, that 1 3-pointer, we actually have Charles Barkley over here. He had a comment about the 3-pointer.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to tell you right now. That guy who took a 3-pointer, and he was off balance, and that thing went in. I mean, that was a lucky shot. UConn was dominated on D. I got to go.
Hey, thank you, Charles.
Yeah, nice work, Charles. Thank you for that commentary. Not bad, Midi. You do a lot of different impersonations, I can tell.
That was Charles Barkley. That wasn't me.
Okay.
All
well,
right. Just saying.
That's how you lock in. That's right. You got to lock into your role sometime. Just like we're going to lock in here on the Sports Machine with Slim all morning, or at least for the next 45 minutes. Midi,
yes,
college
sir.
Basketball is over. What do we talk about now? The Celtics and the Bruins and the incredible playoff run, or what else should we talk about right now?
I mean, there's so much to talk about. if you look at it, I mean, the Bruins are looking a lot better. I feel like the Bruins are strapping it down and tightening things up. They don't seem as loose as they were in the previous weeks.
They're tight. And guess what? We're going to have Thomas Pope calling in a few minutes here, segment two. We
and
will be
something.
Talking about the Bruins. Okay, very good. You have something for him.
Yes, I do.
I think in segment three, we'll talk about the Boston Celtics because the Celtics play at the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. And that's just a fun game to talk about. I will say I did try to reach out to the Milwaukee Sports Talk radio station out there. But to my horror, I have found that their longtime local sports talk radio station in Milwaukee like went kaput. And got bought out by like iHeartMedia or something. They fired all their local people because sports talk radio is just not making much money.
Well, I mean, there's really only one show that's doing really well right now, and it's us, obviously.
Well, I mean, we were able to pull in Charles Barkley as a guest. That certainly helps. Imagine the poll we
absolutely
have. Yeah, thank you very much for that. That worked. Great job getting him in studio, Mitty. 75-60, UConn goes ahead and just wins the national title. It's now 2 years in a row. They've covered the spread in all six games both years. Just like total dominance. That should never happen, but it leads to one result. Like Danny Hurley is obviously a really good coach. I kind of hate him because he just complains so much. I think he's so annoying.
And the antics.
Yeah, I don't like any of it. What about the antics bother you?
Did you, in the second half, I believe it was about 10 minutes left in the game, and Cam Spencer had the ball, and Dan Hurley stepped onto the court because Spencer was holding the ball, and he physically put his hand on him and pushed him as if to say, hey, dribble the ball, go that way. The ref called a technical, and then Dan Hurley decided for the next 5 minutes, I didn't touch him. Did I touch you? You didn't feel that right. It's like, man, it was so obvious.
Yeah, he just complains about everything. But, you know, usually I think that has a negative impact on your team. It
not
certainly
there.
Does in the NBA.
No.
But in college, I think you're absolutely right. It's different with these kids, and they're winning.
The kids actually have gone on to say that he's a little bit intense, but they really like his coaching style because it's so effective.
Well, he's getting the right players to go there, number one, obviously. The talent disparity between UConn and all the other programs. I mean, come on, you as a team to play UConn every single game, like you're jacked up. Whoever the team is, first of all, this year, you're playing the defending champs. Like you want to beat UConn. And then once it gets into the tournament, even more so, it's like, all right, we're playing the defending champs and they're crushing everybody. Like you're getting maximum effort from every other team that plays them, and UConn just keeps winning by 10, 20, 30.
Look at Klingon and Edie. Those guys had an absolute titan battle last night. Edie, what's he got, about 3-4 inches on him, 5 inches on him? But Klingon in the first half definitely had his struggles, and you couldn't stop Edie. But in the second half, you could see that I think coaching prevailed, and Klingon played a strong game. He played fundamental basketball, and eventually he had a tired Edie that couldn't even hit a free throw air ball, right?
He did air ball in the second half, and I had texted
and
you.
And you called that one, too.
Yeah, as Purdue got off to a great start, and Edie was playing incredible, Mitty sent me a text during the game last night, and I responded, what's going to happen is this 7'4" giant is going to get tired, because they were going to him every possession, and hey, it worked out great. Klingon, the best thing he did is he did not foul. Because if Klingon goes out of that game, there's a huge difference. And maybe Edie could continue to dominate all night long. But Klingon made it difficult on him, held his position, made Edie work to get the ball. When he got it, straight up. No, I don't think Klingon maybe had one foul call or two foul calls all game long.
I think he had two.
Very smart defensive player right there. And that's why I knew going in, it's like, that's your strategy. Let Edie go against Klingon. He's the best matchup to guard him defensively in the country. Let him have his shot. And he did a great job.
So I'm going to go ahead and read the text from me to you, you to me. It says, UConn has no answer for Edie. And you said, the answer will be that 7'4" monster is about to get real tired. And when he's tired, there's going to be nothing else to go to. And then
that was with about 10
minutes
gone.
Big man throwing up air balls from the free throw line, hashtag tired.
That was the second half text that I sent to you. It just was that simple. You can see, Zachy, you get huge props from me, dude. You played incredible. 37 points.
Two-time player of the year.
He had 37 points. Yeah. What a monster. But the rest of his team, they just were not fast enough. They weren't fast enough on the defensive end, and they definitely were not fast enough on the offensive end. Like, they can't create their own shots. Edie had 37. The team scored 60. That is not a recipe for success in today's brand of basketball with the three-point shot.
And I will bet you that both Klingon and Edie go into the NBA, and Klingon has a way better career. I guarantee it. He's a better fundamental basketball player. He doesn't have the size, but he's He's coached
He doesn't
well.
Have the defensive game, but I think on offense in the NBA especially, if you can set that pick and roll to the hoop, he's going to be able to throw
picks.
A bunch downs. You got it. I do have a narrative I want to talk about when we come back, just with Zach Edey versus Caitlin Clark.
Oh!
So we'll talk about that when we come back here on the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. This is NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. In a game of one-on-one versus Zach Edey.
Caitlin
Who wins,
Clark
Mitty?
Versus Caitlin Jenner.
Who wins?
Jenner. All day.
Caitlin Clark would beat Zach Edey in a game of one-on-one. I'm quite positive of that. She'd just get a steal or two, but she just would be able to get to
run between his legs, yeah, running around circles. He'd do that cartoon.
Hey, I'm all for that. I'm all for that if we could get a game of that set up. But let's talk about that in segment four. Let's talk about the Bruins right now. I know Thomas Poke is on the line, and you're excited for tonight's game against Carolina, Thomas. So what's your scale from 1 to 10 excitement level? I'll say mine's around probably 7. Where's your at for tonight's game?
Yeah, I'd say the same. 7-8. Like, it's going to be an awesome game. Like, Carolina's a strong team. They're going to be a team to reckon with in the Eastern Conference there to come out on top. And they got a good little group there. They made a couple acquisitions towards the end at the trade deadline, and it seems to have been paying off for them, you know, trading for Jake Gensel from the Penguins. I mean, he's been on fire since he moved there.
What's the deal, Thomas? I looked at the odds to win it all this year, and the Bruins beat Carolina last week. We beat the Panthers twice in the last 2 weeks. Yet, when I look at the odds on who people think, well, DraftKings is putting out there for who's going to win the NHL Stanley Cup, the Carolina Hurricanes are the favorite at plus 650. Florida Panthers are next at plus 700. And my Boston Bruins are plus 1,000. What am I missing?
You're asking the wrong guy here, though. I don't know much about their whole gambling situation.
History.
Something I never really got into it. I don't know. I don't know what their thought process is or what they're coming from. I mean, Bruins been playing great. You know, we're 7-3 in the last 10 games, and Carolina is 7-2-1. So we're right there with both of them. I mean, Florida has been, like, tanking a little bit for their standards the last 10 games, so...
Yeah,
it's interesting.
The Bruins beat them up the last two times we played. Maybe not beat them up, but we were the better team in both games. And anybody watching the whole season would be like, wait a second, the Bruins are better than Florida right now. Why would Florida be plus 700 and the Bruins plus 1,000? Yeah. That makes no sense to me. Now, Mitty is in studio today, Thomas.
Good morning, Thomas. How are you?
Good morning, Mitty. Good. How are you?
I'm not bad. I'm actually just thinking about the same thing. You know, why in the world do we usually have such a problem with the Panthers? It's kind of like Miami and the Patriots in football, but you know, we beat them the last couple times, so you know, maybe we finally figured it out.
I mean, the only thing I could think of the gambling stuff is they put Carolina and Florida at the top, hoping that a lot of people are going to go, oh, they're the favorite to win. For them, well knowing that they're not going to.
Bait them in.
The mind of a non-gambler. Thomas, that's excellent. That's actually, some people would go via that method. It behooves DraftKings to do it that way, but I'm pretty sure that's not the way that it is. But it's just pretty amazing. Obviously, people think that the Eastern Conference is the superior conference this year, and I know the Bruins have done very well against the Western Conference, but Las Vegas dominated last year in the finals, so which conference do you think is better if somebody asked you right now today?
Oh, I think the East is a little more compact, right? There's more teams that are in it for the fight over the whole. Like, even you look at the wild card race, there's about 5 teams are still fighting for those, or 4 teams fighting for that last spot to get in. It looks... That's all that's left there. They're with Islanders, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Washington, a little bit of chance there for Philly. I mean, I would say the East is a little stronger, but that's just for the regular season right now. Hey. Playoffs are different. I mean, you got to come out of that's the one thing I think if you come out of the East, is there enough tank gas left in the tank to go play the final?
Well, what about your Rangers there, Thomas? Those Rangers?
Oh, they're solid. I mean, they've been solid all year. They're number one in the East. They're doing great. I mean, they've been, you know, can't remember the last time they were that strong. Obviously, maybe looking back to the year that they lost against L.A. in the finals.
Well, the Rangers have a rich history of really, really solid players. You know, I know one.
Thomas Polk.
Yeah. No, they're very, I mean, they've been strong. That's one thing, right? 94 was the last time they won the Cup. They need one down there. They really do. And this year they have the team to do it. They also got really strong goaltending with both of them. I know Jonathan Quick's getting a little older and most likely not going to get the start once the playoffs start here. But if I had to put any backup in the middle of the playoffs, that's probably the guy I would go with just because, you know, he's the most winningest goalie in the U.S. history and won a couple of Cups. Like, the guy can still play.
One of the top headlines on ESPN today actually is that the New York Rangers, their numbers in 5-on-5 situations, Thomas, are not very good. They're like below average for the league. I didn't write all the numbers down, but their power play and their power play kill are like the real close to the best for both of them in the league. They're right at the very top, but the 5-on-5 numbers, not so good. So I love planting that seed within the New York fans' mindset. Did you hear me yesterday when I said that I think most New York fans are losers?
I did not.
Do you take exception to that statement because you played for that organization, the Rangers and the Islanders, both of them in the past?
Yeah, I mean, they got very proud fans down there, and they care for their hockey. Obviously, I'd love to see both of them make it. I mean, the Islanders are in there right now. They have a really good chance. It's up to them to not give it back. You know, not let the Penguins and the Capitals creep up on the Flyers and take it from them. It'd be important for them to get in. Do I think the Islanders have the best chance of winning the Cup? Not really.
Well, the Islanders, they play the Rangers two times. Both teams have four games left. The Islanders, like you said, they're right battling for that eighth playoff seed in the East, and they get to play against the Rangers two times out of four. And you know those teams want to battle against each other. Like, when you were on both of those teams, did you guys, like, automatically hate the other team because it was a rivalry, or is it just another team in the NHL?
100%. I mean, that rivalry has been around for a long, long time. I have to say, for whatever weird reason, the couple of years I was with the Rangers and the years with the Islanders seemed to get out on top, even though the team wasn't as strong. Even the year I was with Long Island, we were bottom of the barrel. We weren't getting anywhere near the playoffs yet. Every time we played the Rangers, we seemed to find a way to beat them.
Well, that's what's going to go on two times over these next four. And one of them is tonight, I think, the Rangers and the Islanders square off. And it's just big because the Bruins are battling for, like, the first or second seed in the Eastern Conference. And right now it looks like Tampa Bay is probably going to be number seven. So whoever finishes second has to play Tampa Bay. Well, Tampa Bay has been playing pretty great. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10, and we know they got Stanley Cup winners on that team. So, I mean, it looks like the Bruins probably going to end up playing Tampa Bay in that first round, and that's going to be a tough test.
100%. That's one team you want to watch out for. I mean, they're not that far removed from their back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Their goalie seems to be healthy right now, and obviously the star power that they have up front there with Kucherov, who's at the very top of the league in scoring, Stamkos, Hedman, like, they know how to win, and they've done it multiple times, like their star players. So they're going to be a tough one to beat, for sure.
Well, let's see, because the New York Rangers, there's no guarantee that they're going to be the number one seed, right? The Bruins still can be the number one seed. And whatever, if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. But the New York Islanders play the Rangers tonight. The Islanders have won four in a row. They're battling to get into the playoffs, so they're going to come full-out effort. If the Islanders win tonight and the Bruins win, all of a sudden you go, wait a second, now the Bruins might be the number one seed. But in the end, it might be the Pittsburgh Penguins sneaking into that eighth seed. They're 6-1-3 in their last 10. It's like, hey, all these teams in the Eastern Conference are good. You got it nailed.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, if you really look at the numbers right now, with four games to go, right, we're 3 points behind the Rangers. The Rangers are going to play the Islanders. If the Islanders want to make it, they better beat them because the other teams are right behind them. So if you lose both of those, you're most likely on the outside looking in. And the same goes for the Bruins. If we can, you know, win three out of the next four, they'll have a really good chance of being at the top there.
Absolutely. You know, when I put the Bruins next to the Rangers, I think the thing that I notice with them is that the Bruins have a lot of talent and they've got a lot of issues that they work through. They can either be really great or really, really awful any given night, and their goaltending can be great or awful, but they got some good players. The Rangers are just not amazing at anything, but they don't stink at anything. They are just a solid team. They don't make a lot of mistakes, but they don't do anything crazy.
The Bruins can never be off.
But when the Rangers' goaltending is on, that is an unbeatable team. That is a team that is going to just hold strong.
Yeah. I was reading an article on them too, and it goes back to the gambling there, what we talked about earlier. The Rangers 5-on-5, statistically speaking, doesn't look good. That's not a recipe to do well in the playoffs. 5-on-5 is what most games are going to get decided on, right? So you got to be awesome at 5-on-5. And then, yeah, your power play and your penalty kill need to chip in here or there. Probably penalty kill more important than the power play, because I think you can win with a great penalty kill.
Yeah.
And an average power play more than the other way around. If your penalty kill is not good, it's not looking so good in the playoffs.
They need the X factor. They need something more. I mean, the Rangers.
That's one thing on the gambling, right? It's going to be hard, too. The hockey, the first round, is so tough to tell who comes out.
Yeah, absolutely right. The odds are going to be interesting for me to see, Thomas. Like, if the Bruins play Tampa Bay in the first round, like, they shouldn't be huge favorites. I mean, I don't think that they will, but let's stay tuned. It's coming up next week, Thomas. A scale from 1 to 10, how excited are you for the playoffs starting up next week as we hear the music starting to play?
No, that'll be fun. That's the most exciting part of hockey.
Hockey party at Thomas' house.
We're ready to go here.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. We're ready on the Sports Machine with Slim. Thank you, Thomas, for helping us along the way. Let's go Bruins tonight. Let's go Celtics tonight, too, as we talk about them when we come back from break here on the Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Welcome back. We're going to talk some Celtics and Bucks, and Celtics just in general. Because the Celtics are primed to go on a huge run, but an interesting playoff run awaits them. The Miami Heat could easily be our first-round opponent. I mean, you could see the Indiana Pacers being our first-round opponent. You could be facing the Philadelphia 76ers. God forbid. That's the one thing I am a little worried about, the Philadelphia 76ers. Mitty is here in the studio with me today. Mitty, if you had one team that you wanted to play in the first round, who would it be?
If I wanted to play, I think I would like to play against the Bucks. I mean, it's not going to happen, but I just really love that matchup, but I'm thinking I'd like to play the Heat.
First round Heat. I'm on the Heat.
I'm tired of what happens when we play the Heat. It's always too close, and Jimmy Butler is not having his way with us this year.
If you're going to win it all, you're going to have to go through the Heat. It's just my mentality, and I want to hear the mentality of a sports caller here who's dialed into the station. Tom, I think this is the first time you're calling into the show, is it not?
Jim, absolutely. First time doing this.
I know. It's the first time you've ever called into a sports talk radio show?
Absolutely.
I know you're a hardcore Celtics fan. Me and Tom have a little bit of history together. He does some cool stuff on Twitter. He's a huge, huge Celtics fan. So you coming into a sports talk radio, pretend this is your show. What do you want to tell everybody about the Boston Celtics this year?
Well, first of all, they're the best regular season team. They got the top seed. They'll have home court and at every part of the playoffs. On paper, they're also the best regular season team on paper, plus record-wise.
And they were last year, too, pretty much, Thomas, right? Our Celtics are regular season champions, no doubt about that.
But they've had a hard time in the playoffs. They've had a hard time. The Heat Finals, Eastern Finals series was one of my big disappointments. I've been watching the Celtics since 1960, and when they went down 0-3 against the Heat, that was one of the really big downsides of my love of the Boston team. I couldn't believe they did it.
It was so horrible, Tom. It was so horrible to see us go down 0-3 because we had won Game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers, and Jason Tatum had 50 points in Game 7. So we were all like, our time has come.
Well, it hadn't. It hadn't. But right now, I mean, they're facing – tonight's game is a big one. I mean, it doesn't make anything – make any difference record-wise, but – I mean, you're looking at the Celtics' best record, 62-16, versus the Bucks, 47-31. And the biggest question is, what the heck happened to the Bucks after Doc Rivers came on board? They have been ridiculously bad, particularly defensively.
They've lost four in a row, Tom. So that's why tonight's game is big, because if Milwaukee wins tonight, like those last four games that they've lost, it doesn't really matter because we just beat the best team in the NBA and we know we can do it in the playoffs. But if the Celtics are able to beat them up tonight, it's just like all hope in Milwaukee probably dissipates. Their fan base certainly gets upset. And if Milwaukee happens to play the 76ers in the first round, Milwaukee going home real early.
Yeah.
Well, you also have the 76ers. They're going to be in the play, and it looks like right now. And they scare me. With any team with a big, powerful center.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That scares me every single time. Now, you're looking at Embiid. He just, when he's out there, he makes such a difference with that team. They are so strong with him on the court. And it's pretty much the same thing with Giannis. He is big. He is strong. He can hit from outside. He can drive to the hoop. He's powerful. He's athletic. Those two big guys, I have to admit, I would prefer that the Celtics not meet either team, either the Bucks at any time or the 76ers. But the chances of them missing both teams is ridiculously low.
Yeah, that's not a very confident approach to have, Tom. I will say Mitty in the studio has a question I think he wants to pick your brain on.
I was just going to simply say, I mean, when you're going up against a team that has a man that big, that has that kind of finesse and touch, there's very, very little you can do about him. And in those games, the strategy is usually going to be to double-team him and then try to do your best with everybody else. Let him get his however many points. But you're not going to have a plan against Joel Embiid. There's no such thing. It doesn't happen. He's going to do whatever he wants.
Tom, not for nothing, but in the past, I think Marcus Smart was like one of our best defenders against Joel Embiid. And we all know
Horford.
Marcus Smart is not here. Embiid has done a heck. Yes, you're right, Horford. So how do you think Kristaps matches up against Joel in the playoffs, Tom?
No.
I don't think anybody matches up well with him. And it's a matter of strength. Porzingis, he certainly is a skilled guy. There's no question. He's big, skilled. But that is one of his weaknesses, is he just literally doesn't have the physical strength. That's an issue.
It certainly will be something to watch if we match up against the 76ers. I'm not afraid of any team, but I would rather wait to play the 76ers. Not for nothing, I want to see Embiid get more into a groove, too. I just do. I think Nick Nurse is a heck of a coach, and if he can get a round or two under their belt and then face the Celtics, it's going to be an awesome, awesome matchup. I want our team to have to face tough times and, like, adversity, Tom. I want to play the Miami Heat in the first round and maybe have the Heat win, like, you know, Game 2 or Game 3, so people say, oh, they got a chance, and just see how the team responds and see if we can win close games. Are you at all afraid about the Celtics' ability to win close games at the end like I am?
Always. Always.
Just this team or since the 1960s?
They just have trouble in the clutch. They take bad shots. They take quick shots. I love Tatum, but that fadeaway that he sometimes goes to from distance really worries me.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the best starting six in the league, the best use, for God's sake. In the final minutes, they do have a pretty good plus-minus, but as far as production, they tend to choke a bit.
I agree with you. They just turn it into a one-on-one game way too often. And like you said, that diminishes your advantage. You got a five-man best roster in the league, and you can put those five on the court. They play the same way for 46 minutes. Then all of a sudden, the last 2 minutes, we ask those guys to play differently, and they all aren't sure if they're supposed to defer to Tatum or not. I really think that's the problem, Tom, is every player, when they get the ball in the last couple minutes of a close game, they're like, oh, no, am I supposed to give it to Tatum, or is it okay for me to shoot? And they feel that extra pressure instead of just like, okay, I'm going to shoot it. I'm putting it in.
Yeah, we also have to look at the fact that you're at that time of the year where they are not closing out games for the wins right now, and you can't judge them on the end of their games. You saw that game against Portland the other night. We left our bench in, and we got all the way to the point where we were down by one before we finished it off, and they are not putting Tatum back in. They are not putting Brown back. I mean, they are...
No need to at that point. You want the bench guys.
A loss is a loss, but it doesn't mean as much right now.
Tom, with your years of experience as a Celtics fan, do you get the vibe? Do you think this is the year we win a title?
It's happening.
Well, I'm not all that confident, okay? I love my team. I am simply not that confident that they have, I'll call it toughness, mental toughness. Enough control. One thing, I forgot the game, it's one of the more recent ones, where Tatum got called for an 8-second violation bringing the ball up court. And they slow everything down. It's like they get, damn it, keep the pace up.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Why are they rolling the ball to half court and picking it up when they're up by, you know, 10 points?
Well, because they want time to just keep going off the clock. The shot clock doesn't start for 24 seconds. So they're like, okay, just burn extra time because that gives the other team less time to come back in the game. But it's just thinking too much.
I don't like it.
Just get out and play basketball. Right. So, Tom, I really like the angle for you calling into the show here as a longtime fan of the Celtics and never calling Sports Talk Radio. How has this experience been for you here over the last couple minutes?
Well, honestly, I didn't know what to expect. As you know, my background, I've done a number of TV documentaries. I'm scheduled to do a podcast in the next couple of days. Kind of used to that stuff. But this is brand new to me, and frankly, I kind of enjoy it.
You did great.
You did do really great. We're going to transition to commercial now. When we come back, I'm going to tell everybody how they can find Tom's stuff on Twitter and other sites. And thank you, Tom. I'm hoping you're going to call back. I will be reaching out to you with some info to do a better job of scheduling you to come on the air as a top Celtics fan. Thank you for coming on the show. This is The Sports Machine with Slim. WKXL Radio is on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. NHTalkRadio.com is where you can hear us online. Was nice. The Sports Machine was Slim. The time goes by so fast here.
It sure does.
Nice to have a new caller to the show. Tom, Boston Celtics fan since the 1960s. Okay. And I will tell you, if you want to see, he does write-ups a lot of times on Twitter. If you follow him at Celtics Sentinel, which is S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L. Celtics Sentinel. He'll do write-ups a handful of times a week, and during the playoffs, there will be plenty of good insight. In fact, I'll probably be writing up a few articles myself to put on there, really to diagnose plays that are working, defenses that maybe are or are not working for both the Celtics and our competition, which, as I said earlier, I'd love for that to be the Miami Heat in the first round. I do believe it will be the Miami Heat in the first round. I think they will end up getting them in the Sixers, will be in the 7 and 8 spot. Maybe Indiana slides backward from 6 back to 7 or 8. But I think the 76ers play the Heat in that final play-in game there. The Heat will lose to the 76ers, and then they'll play the winner of this 9-10 game. It's so convoluted in the NBA. Do you know about this stuff with the playoff situation?
Isn't it crazy how much the play-in tournaments, the play-ins have have changed the way the end of the season goes. I mean, there's so much more to think about now.
It's awesome to see.
I love it.
And plus, you get an elimination game. I mean, coming after the regular season, which I think the last game right. of the regular season is Sunday.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, which is, what, a week from today, next week, we're going to get the 9-10
right.
matchup playing and 7-8 play.
We've done so long with the top eight, and we've been able to look at the board and just say, all right, it looks like it's shaping up. We're going to play this guy. But now all of a sudden we got this new twist, this new, like, what's going on? The season's over, and we have no clue what's going to happen now. What are we doing? It's just another thing to get excited about.
It really is. And that's why right now the Indiana Pacers and – you got the 76ers and the Heat. They're all within a game of each other, just so everybody knows. Like, either team can slip. Right now, Indiana's in that sixth position. But if they slip back to seven, like, if they got to play in the first round against that one game against, say, the Heat or against the 76ers, like, you could lose that game and then potentially have to play, a good team in a single elimination game after that. I mean, maybe it's Atlanta against Chicago, which you're probably not too afraid of. But, hey, one game, anything can happen. So the fight is on. Right now, Indiana is 45-34. Philly's 44-35. Miami's 43-35. So they're all within one loss of each other. The Celtics, as the number one seed, I mean, you got to play that first round. You're going to have to play the eighth seed, right? But in the second round, right now, you have the battling for the fourth and fifth spot. It's between Orlando, the Knicks, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The second round is going to be so easy.
Yeah. although, I'll be honest with you, I don't like playing the Cavs. They kind of have our number two sometimes, but I don't think that once playoffs come, it's going to be an issue.
The number two is the right terminology for the Cavs. They stink. They ain't going to beat us. No chance in a seven-game series are the Cleveland Cavaliers, the New York Knicks, or even Orlando. I like Orlando, but they're just too young. There's no way that either of those teams is going to beat the Boston Celtics in a seven-game series. I give much better chance to either Miami, Philly, or Indiana in round one, but that would be just a pathetic embarrassment. Imagine if the Celtics ever lost in round one to the Miami Heat. Oh, my.
No.
I would not know what to do with myself.
They feel different this year, too. A couple of years
ago, Tom didn't think so. I just asked the 50-60-year fan of the Celtics, and he said he didn't have confidence. Tom, if I had asked him, like, imagine if we lose to the Miami Heat or the 76ers in the first round of the playoffs.
But they haven't gotten better. The Heat, the year that we beat them to go to the championship, that was a tight game, a tight race. I mean, that was scary. And then last year, it was...
It was terrible. The Heat went up 3-0, and the Celtics tied it up at 3-3, and then the Heat destroyed us in Game 7.
But this year, the Heat does not look the same. They just feel older.
Last year, Mitty, they were in that 7-8 play in the Miami Heat, and they almost lost to the Bulls. They were in the fourth quarter. They were down to the Bulls, almost got eliminated.
I know, and you're looking at it thinking, oh, man, no matter who we get, we're good to go. No.
This is the thing, but I am not afraid. I'm just saying that was why I'm so confident actually in the Celtics this year getting past anybody who's not the 76ers that I really hadn't even taken a second to consider the real possibility that, wait a minute, what if we lost in the first round? It just hit me live on the air. I did not like the way that made me feel at all.
Look how much better the Celtics got from last year to this year. I mean, the addition of Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis was monumental, and they now have a point guard in Jrue Holiday that's already been there, and he's already gone to the dance, and he danced. So I feel like having him bringing the ball up and kind of settling everybody down is really going to give them the edge that they need to stay calm and collected and get through this.
Well, that's what I need to do, stay calm, collected, and get through this. Well, I think you're right.
What
now
do you mean?
The possibility of the Celtics losing in the first round has now completely vanished from my mind.
It's gone.
That's not going to happen. Maybe we'll come back next week when we start talking in depth about who the Celtics are playing. And I will say for everybody listening, I do have additional callers to the show and contributors to the show lining up. And one is a pretty well-known sports talk radio show caller in the Boston area, Dakota from Braintree, who calls into the competing sports talk stations. I talked with him last week. There's rumor, there's a potential that he's going to be coming on as an expert contributor during the playoff run for the Celtics. And that would just be a lot of fun. I want this to be like a community gathering place for the fans, whether it's 60-year fans of the Celtics like like Tom who just called, whether it's controversial sports talk personalities, maybe it's a new fan who, just all of a sudden, maybe it's a female fan who's a boyfriend, likes the Celtics, and she's just getting into it and really loves Jason Tatum. And hey, there's a spot for everybody on this show.
As long as he doesn't try to give out Tommy points. Absolutely.
No Tommy points.
No, can't do that.
God rest his soul. This is Mike Gorman's last year, I think, of calling games for the Boston Celtics. And I think it may be Jack Edwards' last year of calling games for the Bruins. That's not definite or decided, but wouldn't it be interesting if both of these two long-time Boston professionals go out on top? They would deserve it, both of them. Yeah. I think they both do an excellent job.
Honestly, you got to look at the long, prestigious line of amazing talk hosts we've had in Boston over the years. I mean, the Celtics already are one of the most storied franchises in all of sports, but just the people that have made Boston what it is and just enjoyable to watch. I love Scalabrine. He's one of my favorites to watch, you know?
Yeah,
I really enjoy him.
Johnny Most, listening to him back in the days. I mean, he was synonymous with the Celtics on the radio and stuff like that. Johnny Most listening to him was incredible.
Kendrick Perkins, he's a riot to watch. I feel like everything with him is just so cut and dry, like, no, this is going to be how it is, and that's what's going to happen. You know, the personalities are huge, and just it's a great place to live, especially this time of year.
Yeah, you got it. Nonstop sports action starting up here next week. What I will say to finish up the show, Zach Edey and Caitlin Clark, why, when Caitlin Clark was playing over the weekend, was the messaging from the media that, oh, if she doesn't win, if Iowa doesn't win at all, then Caitlin's not going to be the GOAT. Like, she can't be unless she gets a title. And the messaging today about Zach Edey from Purdue is, wow, he's great. He had 37 points. What a great run. Best Purdue player ever. And you know, two-time Wooden Award winner, probably going to be, you know, best player in college basketball 2 years. How great he is. I just don't understand why that, like, media isn't the same for both players. Do you have any thoughts on that, Mitty?
Yeah. Caitlin Clark's gotten more media over the last, 6 months or so, even a year, than most players ever get in their lifetimes. She's been everywhere. You know, she has been absolutely everywhere. She's been the talk of so many conversations on so many platforms. And Edey just had the biggest game up to now of his life so far. But, I mean, Caitlin Clark is a generational talent that will be forever remembered in women's sports. But the problem is it'll never be made as big as men's sports because it's just the world we live in. And she'll never get that legacy that any men's player will get.
Well, how do you know that? What if she does like a Larry Bird now and goes to the WNBA and there's tons of fans and so many people now are following her, she gets so many endorsements, and then she leads her WNBA franchise to multiple titles?
Okay, well, that's fine, but I mean, leading a WNBA team to a championship is like winning a carnival game. I mean, it's great.
I think the fans are going to follow her, Mitty.
Sure.
I think the fans are going to follow and watch her games now.
You're going to get your teddy bear and you're going to go home, and then nobody's going to remember it down the road. It's just the way it is. People don't talk about the women's sports, and it's sad.
Well, we're talking now about Caitlin Clark. I just wonder, is that going to continue in the years ahead?
I hope so. I hope so. I think she's an inspiration.
And she handled everything with class, and she just can drain from three.
Sure can.
So it's real cool. It's going to be great.
Number 22, baby. That's my number.
There we go, everybody. The Sports Machine with Slim. Tomorrow, I think we're going to be having a tape show, just so people know. It might be a replay of that NBA preview, playoff preview I did with the Pistol, because I want to see where things were a month ago and where they are now. This is WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Let's go, Bruins. Let's go, Celtics. Let's go, NHTalkRadio.com.
Here we go, Boston.